A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Anton Bettis with you this morning. Taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. And the next listener, Ton, says their white snowball blossoms have turned brown. How far down the stem should they cut them off?
They just want to cut the dead blossoms off and leave it alone. If they do too much pruning, they'll lose flowers for next year because those buds are already set.
Mm-hmm. Next person says they need to move a blackberry bush. Is it too late to move it? And can they cut it back before moving it?
Might be too early. I would wait until those leaves go brown and fall off, or at least are completely brown. So, you know, after if we do get hard frost and they get nailed, then, you know, over the next week or two, they can move it. But I'm glad they didn't move it already. So when they do move it, they're probably going to have to cut it back because it's going to be unwieldy to move if it has 10 or 12 foot long canes on it.
Are you familiar with Canby raspberries? Is that actually a name of a raspberry?
It is.
Or is it a typo?
Yeah.
Okay, good. It's not a typo. This person wants to know, how can they get bigger berries on their Canberry raspberries? They say theirs get about 5 feet tall. Should they prune them shorter? Is too much energy going into the plant? Or how should they fertilize them?
Well, Canby raspberry is a very common one grown here. And it depends on the age of the plant. You know, they're never going to produce just the monster raspberries, but if the size is diminishing, it could be due to the age. A lot of times raspberries, depending on the situation, but within 5 to 10 years after planting, they oftentimes start to decline due to viral load and just other things. And so it may be that they want to get some new Canby canes, make sure they're virus-free, and plant them in a new spot. Otherwise, they should be watered twice a week. They don't need a lot of fertilizer because they'll produce too many canes. And just follow the instructions of thinning them so you have one cane. So the canes that you leave in would be the ones that were grown this year. And those are going to produce next year's berries. And the ones that are already fruited can come out. So the older canes come out, you leave the newer ones behind, so they're spaced about every 6 inches in the row, and then you cut them at about chest height.
Okay, and is there something to that, that the plant can take up energy if it's taller?
No. No, it is absorbing more sunlight if it is getting taller, but it also becomes more leggy and has a chance to fall over. And so if you cut those at chest height, they're going to get plenty tall.
You say little fertilizer. Does that mean they really don't need to fertilize them? And what would they fertilize them with if they did?
Triple 16 is always a good go-to whenever in doubt. It's a good fertilizer for fruit trees and for gardens. The other one they could use is just straight nitrogen, like a 20-0-0. You don't need to go find a fertilizer that has a picture of raspberries on it because the plants don't know. And so just 16 or 2000 would be fine. And I would go really lightly. And so USU has a pretty good fact sheet on raspberries, but it's, if you do, I mean, it's sparingly. So maybe a teaspoon per foot or something is what I would put down, just a super light application. And I would do that after I had my soil tested to see if you need anything in there.
Okay, our next person says they have a miniature spruce tree about the size of a basketball in a 14-inch clay pot, and now they're wondering what to do with it for the winter. How do they winterize it? Do they water it? Do they wrap the pot or bring it inside? And how much light will it need if it needs to be moved inside?
I would just move it into an unheated shed or an unheated garage and check it every 2 or 3 weeks to make sure that the soil hasn't dried out. Otherwise, they can bring it back out in late March of next year. Now, with it being in such a small pot, as it grows, they're probably going to need to transplant it periodically. And even with dragging it back and forth, the Alberta spruce aren't known to be easy to take care of long-term of in pots.
Okay, so be aware of that. And then you said put it in a shed or garage. Is it going to get enough light in there?
It will be fine. They don't really photosynthesize a whole lot during the winter. And so if they wanted to put it by a window or something, that would be okay. But they don't need to worry as much about the sunlight in the winter.
Next listener has an apple tree question. They have an overgrown apple tree that they need to size down in the late winter. They want to know how much they can take off at one time. They say it's about 25 feet tall right now.
You never take more than 20% of the total canopy out of an apple tree in a given year. So then they don't want to start pruning it until February. But they would look at the tree. Anything dead or diseased can come out, and it doesn't count against that 20%. But the first year, and it could be a 4 or 5 year process to get it back into reasonable shape, the first year they take out the worst offending branches. And so I would maybe look at some limbs or something that would be crossing, or, you know, just the worst one. And then you take that out. And if you've hit your 20%, you kind of just leave it alone until the next year, and you just keep that up.
All right, the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. I'll get my words out correctly. And the number to text us, 57500. We'll be back after a short break.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Let's take our first caller of the morning, and good morning to James. Good morning, James. How can we help you this morning?
Well, good morning, Maria. Anyhow, normally I have family in Provo and Salt Lake, and normally I've talked to you before, but I'm in Dallas, Texas now, and I've got a relative who's got a dogwood tree, and when I visited, the dogwood would naturally mist, kind of like a fine mist, like a weeping willow. But what's odd this year, the oak tree, a great big oak next to it, dogwood's little trunk of oak tree, is misting too, and it's a real fine syrupy mist. I'm wondering, is that normal for an oak?
So what do you have going on?
Anyhow, it's kind of like parking a car underneath an oak tree. And you can park it under a dogwood, and just little fine specks of water, like a weeping willow might have little specks that'll drop down. And anyhow, on the car windshield, and it's syrupy, kind of like just oozing water. And that's what's happening with the oak. It just dropping down.
It's usually from aphids or a similar insect that are sucking juice out of the tree. And what they're doing is basically excreting a very sugary substance that's hard to remove from the plant or from the car.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, it just happening to that one particular tree, it's not widespread among oaks in general? Or
not in general. It could be, depending on the number of oaks around. And if it could be very species specific, but it also could be an aphids that's a generalist that would attack a number of species.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyhow, I do thank you for your time. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call, James. Next listener does have a follow-up on the canby raspberries. So, Tom, they say they can't safely put them back in the same place, but they don't have another place to put them. So they want to know, when you take out the ones that have gone bad, do you need to kill the old ones with Roundup, first of all?
You know, I would, just so you don't have them popping up. But the problem you run into is that the soil itself will have an accumulation of pests and diseases in there that if you plant new raspberries in, those newer raspberries will succumb sooner to them than what they would have put in a new spot. And so if they don't have anywhere else to put them, one thing they could do is kill them out and then maybe excavate the soil 6 inches deep and swap it. It's a chore, but swap it out with soil from somewhere else in the yard. So they're trading it, and then go ahead and plant in the spot. Or, you know, I don't know what to tell them.
What if they let the ground sit for a year?
It won't do any good unless they solarize it. So they would need to stretch clear plastic over the spot and then, you know, peg it down so it doesn't blow away and that the edges are sealed, and they would let the sun hit the soil for a full year, then they could replant.
Okay. So when they do kill out the old ones, would they do that with Roundup, though?
They would, yes, definitely kill them out with Roundup.
Okay.
Maria, I should say real quick that it sounds like our 4-H is having a riot outside of my
door. Yeah, what is going on outside your door?
The 4-H kids are socially distanced and following safety protocols, but sounds like they're having a party out there.
We thought they were your fans.
No, I don't.
Outside your door there.
So, yeah, I think Teen Council. They're actually very smart and astute kids, but they're out
but
there planning something or another and not quiet. Yesterday, it sounded like they were having an 80s dance party.
Oh, my goodness.
But again, they're socially distanced and being responsible. They're good kids, but it's a little noisy because sometimes the office extension does 4-H also, and we're multi-purpose. And so when you see stuff like or hear stuff like that, it's something else is going on in the office.
There you go. We have about 3 minutes before we need to break for the top of the hour news. I'm going to squeeze in Nancy here in South Jordan. Good morning, Nancy. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning. What is your question?
We have some large chrysanthemum bushes in the front yard that are just barely starting to bloom. Do we cut them down so they bloom earlier, or what can we do about that?
Cutting them down will not make them bloom earlier. Were these mums that were planted from, say, a cemetery or something?
No, they're from a nursery. They do have a lot of blossoms on them, though.
Okay. So there's just a later variety. Now, are they brand new?
No.
Okay. So it could be that the way they are genetically programmed is they don't bloom until mid to late October, and so it could be a continual problem. So just some varieties do that, and so cut them down in the spring and don't pinch them too late if you have been doing so. And so after about mid to late July, stop pinching them so they form their flower buds, but that's about all you're going to be able to do.
So what do you mean pinch them? We don't pinch them.
Okay. Pinching is something you would do to especially old-fashioned mums, that you would pinch the stems, the tips, so that they stayed more compact.
Oh, okay.
And when do they do that?
All right.
Tom?
You would do that through late spring into mid-summer, and in late July you stop. And so as those mums grow, you would take the leader out of every stem and force them to go sideways, and then they'd form new leaders, and a month later you do it again. So you pinch them two or three times a summer, and then by late July you're done.
Okay.
So you
thank
pinch
you so much.
Those right where it starts to branch off again. Is that exactly what you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, and okay. So on that stem, right at the tip, you'll have about a half of an inch of a new what's called meristem, or just immature tissue. And where it's forming those new leaves, you go back to the next set of leaves and you just pinch it out. And side buds, or what are called secondary buds, will take over and temporarily go sideways. Then they'll start growing out again. And so about a month later, you pinch them again. It's almost like you're pruning them, except for you're just pinching the tips out.
I always plan to do that every year, and then I forget. So I need to get on that.
It can help keep the mums
from
being
really
floppy.
Tall. Yeah, they get really tall. Okay. All right, good to know. And Nancy, thank you for your
Here goes the dance party. Sorry, the 4-H
again. Right in time
again.
For the top
yes,
of the hour news.
They are.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about planting trees. You've put together a video, and that will be our feature at the top of the hour. We're going to break for the top of the hour news, and we're going to be right back with your calls and questions. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500, and you are listening to the KSL Greenhouse Show with Ton Bettis and Maria Chaleos right here on KSL News Radio. We'll be right back.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.